great.
But here's what he did.
Rhyme it. Do you know how to rhyme it? Oh, please just rhyme it.
And he really gets into it.
Do you know how to rhyme it?
Yes, of course.
We will.
You don't even have to think about it.
So let's rhyme it today. Rhyme it.
Yes.
We are going to rhyme it. Just
yeah, rhyme
that's
it.
Where he just ran down.
Everybody,
amazing. I'm not gonna remember any of it.
That's good. That's the way to go.
All over the Rams today and ram it.
I mean, now he's like on his feet.
How are you guys?
Who's house? Where?
Wow.
Ram it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Rams Brothers. I'm your host, Dean, and I'm joined as always by my brother and the other great host of this show, Nick. And Nick, the draft is a wrap. The Rams came away with 10 players. 14 undrafted free agents. We're going to talk about all the day three picks and all the undrafted free agents in this episode. But first and most importantly, how are you, my good brother?
I'm great. It's a great draft. I love what they did. It was so cool to see them post up in Hermosa. But while I have everybody here with the hook, please like and subscribe. We have a giveaway going on right now. So you can get a Jarrett Verse jersey. In the new era of Los Angeles, if you like and subscribe, you have to retweet the post. So you have to go to Twitter or X, whatever. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and make sure you follow us and Vince AYG underscore.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And you could also, so it's a double giveaway, actually. You're getting a Jarrett Verse jersey or a Braden Fisk jersey. We wanted to pair up the brothers. We wanted to do a very, very unique giveaway. So we're going to announce two winners in just a week's time. So stay tuned on X, stay tuned on the YouTube channel. We're going to be announcing the winners live here on the YouTube channel and on X. So make sure that you guys are a part of this. Like and subscribe. We need your guys' support. We want to keep building this out as strongly as we possibly can. And we're hoping that we have some good things cooking for you guys, some really good coverage. We just put out a Jarrett Verse episode where we went all the way back to his high school days. We talked all the way through everything from his beginnings through college, where he wore number 5 at Florida State and dominated back in Albany before he transferred over to Florida State. And then also all the day two picks. You know, we're talking about Blake Corum and Braden Fisk and Cameron Kitchens as well in this episode. So, I mean, I think the combination of Jarrett Verse and Braden Fisk, like you saw that on the phone when the draft pick actually happened.
Yeah.
Kevin Demoff was tweeting out that they were just blowing through stop signs in order to get Jarrett Verse in the Hermosa draft house so that he could be on the phone with Braden Fisk. And Braden Fisk was like, Verse? I'm teamed up with Verse? And then you saw the tears start to come to his eyes. So, I mean, like, that's the best kind of moment that you could ask for in a draft. And I think we're all pretty happy with how it all unfolded so far.
Every one of us who lives in the South Bay can understand that there are maybe too many stop signs. I mean, obviously, you make sure that people are safe. But sometimes you're just like, what? Why are there so many? And if you know that video is kind of what it's all about. I mean, you watch that, and you're right.
It really is. So
tears in his eyes, which is hysterical because I feel like the man is made of iron or tin.
I mean, he looks like he's made of it. I mean, he is just a bully. You could tell that he's, you know, that mental makeup you pair with the physical strength. He's going to be a heck of a player. You pair him with Kobe Turner and Byron Young and Jarrett Verse. Like, that's a really, really fun front four. So then also you're talking about all of these players that have been drafted so far. All we've talked about in the first couple of episodes, Braden Fisk, Jarrett Verse, Blake Corum, Cameron Kitchens, Brennan Jackson, who we're going to talk about again in this episode, who we mocked a ton. Tyler Davis from Clemson, Joshua Cardi. We got our kicker, Jordan Whittington from Texas. Bo Limmer, who fell all the way to the 6th round. Rams were able to get their hands on him. He was a projected 4th round pick. And KT Levison from Kansas State. So 6 of their 10 draft picks were actually participants at the Senior Bowl. And most of them are older, more experienced prospects that are 23, 24 years old. So you're bringing adults into the building. You're bringing men who care, have that Aaron Donald care factor. And I think all in all, it's just, you know, you really didn't overthink it. There was a lot of logic behind each draft pick. A majority of the draft picks went towards defense. And, you know, your offense, you've invested in. Like, you invested in the interior offensive line. You're going to invest in Matthew Stafford and give him a new contract. You also brought in a running back who's going to pair really nicely with Kyron Williams. So that's kind of where we're kicking it off. Brennan Jackson, We've talked about weight room warrior. He was in the gym first thing this morning. It was reported this morning that he was in the gym working out. His mom is a former competitive bodybuilder. He refers to her as his best friend. So similar to Kyron Williams, how he gave his mom the ball every single time he scores a touchdown in the stands. He's a California kid. He gets to play in front of his home fans. He's a great human being, and he's going to be loved in the locker room. It's going to be a rotational edge. We've mentioned in previous episodes, he could probably take Michael Hoyt's job right away. So in 2022, Washington State, he led the Washington State in sacks and tackles for a loss. 2023, he did the same exact thing, except he also returned three fumbles for a touchdown, and one was a 74-yard fumble recovery that he took to the house. I'm very curious of how many edge rushers can do that, or how many edge rushers in their careers have done something similar to that. I think Brennan Jackson's the kind of kid that we've been mocking because the Rams met with him at the Shrine Bowl. You go all the way back to like just his career. He was banged up in the beginning of his career, had an ACL, has been recovering from injuries. I think he was in his sixth year when he was drafted. But I think it's a player you're going to bring into the building and everybody's going to just be all about. You're going to love the kind of mental makeup. You're going to love the weight room warrior stuff. And I think we're both excited about that pick.
Yeah, it is cool to see it be somebody that we have prepped for. You know, it's so much of what you do with like the makeup of the draft is just like hoping that the Rams fill the holes that are needed to be filled. And then they, you know, they do it and they go out there and they, you know, we have similar ideas of where those holes are and who they want to bring in. And Brennan Jackson was absolutely one of those people. And it's awesome, especially to have somebody like whenever the makeup of one of these players is like parents are in a competitive sport. Yeah. Usually translates to this person was dealt with like how that's supposed to work and how like the work ethic at a very young age. And I saw the video with him and his mom, who I'm pretty sure was wearing horns because she wanted him to go to LA. It's just incredible.
Yeah, all his family is going to be able to watch him play football again. All the people that have supported him in California, which is amazing. And then their next draft pick, round six, number pick 196. Tyler Davis, an interior defense lineman from Clemson. Aaron Donald was the first person that he mentioned. That is his hero. So we all have that in common with Tyler Davis. He posted a 91.1 run grade since 2022, which is third amongst interior defensive tackles. So he's going to be a rotational three-tech nose tackle, primarily a nose tackle. That's going to be much, much needed depth. And I believe Bobby Brown, the third, is on the last year of his rookie deal. So you're essentially bringing in more beef, more ass, more special teams experience, pause. But like that's, you know, those are the kind of things that like Jeff Fisher used to talk about. He's like, we want guys with big, strong lower bodies, guys that can get leverage. And that's kind of the Aaron Donald way is, you know, a little bit smaller, but stronger, compact, and can get leverage from the ground up. And I think that Tyler Davis very much fits that mold. You know, I mean, he's going to be more of a nose tackle. He's more of a run defender. But I think for the majority, you know, you need some of those things on your depth chart. And Tyler Davis 100% brings that to the table.
There's certainly like a worry when you like, because it happened last year, when you have to fill a lot of holes with young players and they're going to have to like start immediately because it's going to take some time. It's going from college to playing against grown men. But it worked really well last year. Like we were really worried about the draft because we were like, maybe Les Snead doesn't even really know how to draft that well. He just knows how to go out and get really good players. And then last year kind of that mentality or like that thought process was completely thrown out the window when they brought in so many great players, not at the top of the draft. And now, you know, you're bringing in like, you know, somebody like Tyler Davis who looks like just an absolute beast and is in the interior defense. So it's a hole that needs to be filled and it's somebody that's going to be playing right away. So hopefully just like last year, it's a smooth transition.
I'm glad they got two of those guys, you know, Braden Fisk and then a Kobe Turner from last year. And then also a Tyler Davis, right? You need some of those rotational players. You'll be able to mix up your fronts. You'll be able to generate different pressure packages, be able to stop the run, right? Because, you know, when you go against San Francisco, you have to be able to stop the run. You got to be able to clog gaps. And that's the kind of player that is. And then the next pick, everybody I think was pretty happy over Joshua Cardi, a kicker.
Great picture, by the way, producer who added this here. He looks like he's like levitating or is like surfing.
He's really good at Stanford. He's a smart kid. And I think the best part about him is in 2023, he didn't miss a single extra point. So sign us up for that. 23 of 27 on field goals in 2023. 2022, he was perfect with 18 of 18 field goals. 13 of those field goals were from 40 plus. And his long was 61 yards. So it's not like he's got a small leg. He looks tiny in his pictures, but he's 6'2", 208. So he's essentially our exact size. So
are you sure his name's Joshua and not Gary? Because he really looks like a Gary.
I don't know, but whatever he looks like he's smart. He brings a lot to the table, and hopefully he can knock through the uprights.
Gentle Joshua. Yeah, I there's something about McVay talked about it on the post-draft YouTube video that they released where he was like, yeah, but you know, hopefully we don't have to go for it on fourth down as much because we have somebody that can make our extra points. And he laughed, and you could tell that the laugh came from like absolute pain. I still want them to bring in the kid from Michigan, from the USFL, XFL, whatever, the Rock league, and just have him like compete for the spot because there's no reason not to do that. Like, if he's there, somebody in the NFL is going to take him at the end of this XFL season. So bring him in. It's great that you feel confident in this kicker, but why not have both? It just makes no sense for us not to. The Rams are not a team where like missing field goals, like some teams just have that bad mumbo jumbo attached to them. Like the Vikings, it's just for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who the kicker is. They're just not going to make it sometimes. And the Rams are not one of those teams. I don't like if you continue this pattern of not good kickers, you could start that curse. So hopefully that doesn't happen with gentle Joshua.
Yeah, it's a good call. It's a Cardi. The next pick, Jordan Whittington, wide receiver from Texas. He was a sixth round pick. He was pick number 213. He was initially projected to go in round 7 or even potentially undrafted. But the Rams needed this kind of special teams help in a very big way. Also, he plays inside and outside, so he took snaps throughout his Texas career at the X, at the Z, at the F, at Texas, and mostly played in the slot in 2023. I think what's really interesting about him is that the Cordarrelle Patterson comp is legit in terms of Texas gave him carries earlier on in his career, but he was dealing with injury, and that injury history was what kind of prevented him from achieving his 5-star recruit potential. So he could return kicks. They gave him carries out of the backfield. He's a really good blocker. And I think it was about time that they drafted a kid from Texas because we know Tate Haver is the long snapper for Texas. And it's Les Steed's stepson who actually just threw us a follow on Twitter. So shout out, Tate. We love you, man. And, you know, you got some good intel within the Texas facility in terms of a player like Jordan Whittington. And the Rams just, I mean, if this was a player that a lot of people considered, you know, not, you know, a 6-round pick or potentially an undrafted player, the Rams don't care. Field Yates did a really good job of bringing this up on the broadcast yesterday. He's like, the Rams don't care. They take players who they rate on their board. They take them. They don't think about it, and they get the job done. And Jordan Whittington has that kind of potential.
When you have a track record of drafting people like Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua late, it probably means that you have a better understanding of this than half of the people in the league because otherwise those players would have been drafted a lot higher. But also, let's give some credit to the scheme as well, because that has a lot to do with it, but the players themselves as well. Anybody that is a wide receiver that can be handed off the ball, I think always fits so well in the Sean McVay offense because the jet sweep is huge. I always think about Robert Woods on the jet sweep and what that was able to do in that 2017-2018 season, those two seasons. And yeah, I mean, Jordan Whittington, I think, is somebody that will be able to bring that in. And, you know, like we had to rotate a lot last year. Who was it? DeMarcus Robinson ended up being like a touchdown scorer every single game. That could be Jordan Whittington this coming year.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of a big slot, so I'm not sure if he's going to get a ton of snaps out of the X. You might see a little bit in the preseason. But, Nick, to your point, like, you're totally right. They like to move their players around. They like to put their players in short motion. You see sometimes Cooper Kupp's lined up in the backfield. So, yeah, it could be like a gadget-type player who fits the mold of a guy who can handle those new kickoff roles, right, with the, you know, the kickoffs. He could receive a kickoff. He could, you know, kind of run it as he's a running back with a lot of size. And the guy is jacked. Cool. I mean, He's tall, he's strong, he's lean. So it's a player that I think we were all pretty excited about, considering that you know, you kind of needed a wide receiver at some point, even if it's just special teams help. So yeah. I think we're all okay with that. And then Bo Limmer, this is a really fun pick because he's an interior offensive lineman from Arkansas, but he was projected to be a fourth round player. There was somebody in our mentions on X who said he covered him from a Steelers perspective, did a really, really in-depth video, and he was considering this to be the steal of the draft. He's highly regarded by all NFL scouts. This is an insane value for a player like this in the sixth round. Like when you look him up, you look at just his really good athletic ability for his size. He's considered by all Arkansas players as the strongest player on the team. Like he's got a fantastic tape and he's extremely durable. 36 consecutive starts in the ACC. He played every single interior offensive line position over that span, and they loved him there. Like he's a guy that understands the duo scheme, the man blocking scheme, and he's going to be great, great depth for the Rams. Like we know we just signed a lot of interior players. You got Kevin Dotson and Jonah Jackson, and then obviously Steve Avila moving over to center. But like if you want to kind of continue to evolve that duo scheme, you want to bring in as much personnel as you possibly can who understands it so that you could practice it and execute it on a high level consistently.
I would love to know what exactly happened to have him drop so much.
Yeah, I'm curious that too. I think just some other interior players were drafted a little bit higher. I think Tanner Bordellini was another guy that people were considering to be like a Jason Kelce type late round pick that got drafted over him. But he was a really, really highly regarded interior player. I think that the pick just makes sense because of the way that the Rams are evolving their run scheme. And you want, like I mentioned, you want to bring in personnel that fits that mold. So
yeah, that makes sense. It's with a position like O line too. It's like you get a lot of tackles early on, and then they can kind of just like fade out.
Yeah, right. So you want to be able to have a guy that has some inside, potentially outside versatility, but primarily inside. But the Rams love their offensive linemen, specifically tackles, but even their interior players to have that kind of versatility. So you got that in the building, but then you also went with the tackle in KT Leviston. The tackle from Kansas State with their last pick in the draft, round 7, number 254. Leviston was a projected fifth round pick. So another guy that they got really, really good value on. The Rams got him as the draft was coming to a close, but he has nothing but left tackle experience. He projects to be more of an interior player at the NFL level, but has all the power in his hands and that lower half to be able to play at the NFL level. So whether you serve him in terms of depth at left tackle or left guard, I don't really think it matters. Like the Rams had a fifth round grade on him too. And I think that the value of his ability to maul in the run game specifically is really, really highly regarded. And perhaps he's the third left tackle on the depth chart, or even perhaps a left guard if he projects to play inside. But I mean, if you're picking towards, the sixth, end of the sixth, into the seventh round, and you're getting players that are valued in round 4 and round 5, I think you can consider that to be, really, really strong value and just a really good job from Les and his full scouting team.
So nothing but left tackle experience, it seems. I feel like potentially we try to give him some right tackle reps because longest tenured Ram, Havenstein, probably not going to be on the team forever. So, I mean, he's, been on since St. Louis. So my thought process would be maybe that's where he ends up, KT. So,
yeah, potentially. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what you're looking at, right? It's like guy that could play left tackle. Maybe you can shift him over to right tackle. But he played, I think, upwards of 97% snaps at Kansas State at left tackle. So maybe you keep him on the left side, but bring him into the building and see where he's most comfortable. If it's left tackle, that's fine. Keep him depth there. Or you move him over to left guard and he's depth for – Jonah Jackson, which I'd be really happy over.
So I know the offensive linemen of the world right now are going to be like, you're an idiot. But from somebody that's just like watching on the couch and you see the position and it says left tackle and right tackle, like a lot of people I know are just like, why don't you just bring that guy, like switch the side? Like it's not that easy. Obviously not that easy.
Just imagine you just have to flip everything from a fundamental perspective.
Easy. I got this. Have you ever played mirror mode in Mario Kart Double Dash? You know exactly what it's like.
150cc mirror mode on what is that? Or is that 200cc?
No, mirror mode is its own cc. It's like a little, I think it's like 175 usually.
Yeah, so it's insanely difficult, especially if you have all that experience from the left side. So this is what we have as a wrap up. So Jared Verse, Braden Fisk, Blake Corum, Cameron Kinchins, Brennan Jackson, Tyler Davis, Joshua Cardy. And then you got Jordan Whittington and Bo Limmer and KT Leviston. So that's the Rams' 2024 draft class.
Wait, can you flash that up one more time for me?
Sure. Sure.
So I'm just going to take a sidebar here just for like 1 second. I saw this picture and I'm trying to analyze it. And I'm like, really cool. They got the, you know, the tapes. It looks sick. It's like old school rap of LA, like NWA vibes. And I'm just looking at it. And I'm like, uh-oh, like there are like yellow and black. And I'm like, damn, like maybe our next jersey is going to be black, which I really don't want. Cause I feel like everybody has a black jersey. And I just look past the yellow. Cause there's also yellow tapes there. So I don't know. That was just me just being a,
It's a good point. Cause when they were showing the clips of the draft house, they had the blue jersey and the bone jersey. And in the middle of both of those jerseys was something black. I don't know if it was a black t-shirt, you know, you never know what it is, but they're going to be eventually releasing another variation of the helmet. Cause I think that there's a rule where you could have three or four different helmet variations.
Yeah. I think we're one of the only teams that just has like the single helmet.
I'm okay with that. Unless you're going to go back to the original, like, you know, we won't get too crazy with the helmet variations. Just win football games for the love of God.
It's fun. It's fun.
It's fun. I get it. And you sell more merchandise, you know, all that kind of stuff is tapped into. So the UDFA class, it's a pretty fun little class. You know, these guys are highly unknown. You really have to kind of dig into some of their backgrounds to be able to understand what they bring to the table. But Cam Lampkin, he is a cornerback from Washington State. So 5'10", 181 pounds. Was looking back at his track numbers in high school. Really, really good track runner. The Rams likely met with him when they met with Brennan Jackson. And I thought he was really productive against some of the top programs in college football. Tuli Lehto. That's all. I'm not pronouncing the rest of that name. Tuli Lehto from Washington, 113 tackles as a Husky, 17.5 tackles for a loss in his career. But that name is a friggin' nightmare, bro. I'm just going to call you Jeff.
Let me try. Tuli Lehto Igesineo.
Hey, maybe that's right. Who knows? Those Samoan Definitely names not. Are. You like a defensive tackle that's a Samoan, because those guys are tough and they fit the mold, and you know you got Puka Nacua in the building, so hopefully there's a bond there. And then cornerback Josh Wallace from Michigan. This might be my favorite in the undrafted free agent class. This kid knows how to play in an NFL style defense. He has the experience playing in a really, really high class organization with an NFL coach. So as an undrafted player, I mean, that's all you're really asking for. I think he's going to be an immediate special teams contributor and will serve as much, much needed defensive back depth. You know, maybe could be the next Akello Witherspoon at some point. It could come in, help, you know, cheap contract, rookie deal, play on the practice squad, and then eventually get on the field and be a starter in some time. Once some of those, you know, the Trey White contracts expire, Darius Williams' contract expires, you know, let's try to groom him up. He's got the experience at a really high-class organization in Michigan. So that's the hope with a player like Josh Wallace. Wide receiver Drake Stoops from Oklahoma. He's a former Oklahoma walk-on turned all Big 12 receiver. He's a pretty decent player in terms of Oklahoma receivers. So you kind of like the makeup of what he brings to the table. Safety Kenny Logan. I'm sure our good buddy Jake Ellenbogen is pretty pumped about taking a Jayhawk. Finished in the top 10 in Big 10 in kickoff return yards in 4 of his 5 seasons, and was in the top 4 in kickoff return average in 2 of those 3 years. So there's another guy that brings a lot of special teams to the table. We love kickoff return yards, whether it's kickoff or a punt. Anybody that can, you know, get that practice and then potentially bring it onto the field and have it translate to a real game, that's what you look for in potential undrafted players. And Kenny Logan fits that mold too. So like him a lot. Who's next on our list?
So before you go into this next one, it's Neil Johnson, tight end, Louisiana. I feel like the only hole that they were not able to fill in this draft was tight end. Because I feel like with Higbee, and especially with them talking about how they definitely wanted to go up and get Bauer, Higbee's going to be out. Even though we just signed a new deal, he's going to have to be recovering from that injury to start. And even with him recovering from the injury. He was not the Higbee of yore. Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully this dude from Louisiana is it. But at the same time, I think they're going to be looking at some free agent tight ends going into this year.
Yeah, we're going to see how Colby Parkinson fares out too. When he is on the field for the first time, he was productive in Seattle. So the hope is that, you know, he can contribute at a really high level while Tyler Higbee comes back. But what's interesting about Neil Johnson, as you just mentioned, like he's perhaps maybe a tight end three and is going to get a ton of practice reps with Higbee and Hunter Long out to start the season. So you might have, you know, this is going to be a practice squad player when Higbee and Hunter Long return. But like there is potential upside in a tight end. And what's really interesting is, like, Nick, to your point, like tight ends, I think that was just such a circumstance where they really almost had a player that was just a game breaker, right, in Brock Bowers. But people are upset that they didn't invest in cornerback highly. And, you know, left tackle, like cornerback, left tackle, edge rusher, I think they've kind of changed their mindset a little bit. But those are players that they view as premium positions. And same with X receivers, right? So like a Mike Evans type player that they were looking for in the offseason, a left tackle like Andrew Whitworth, you know, those cornerback like Jalen Ramsey, like those are premium positions that you can get in free agency. So it's not like the biggest deal in the world if you don't get a top player at that position, because you can look to potentially address it for the 25 season or even 26.
Yeah. It would have been, I'm still holding out. I don't think that they value tight end as high as they do those positions.
No,
that,
definitely not. This, I think Bowers was just one of those situations where it's like, we could get just a really, really good player at the position who could be one of the faces of the organization.
Yeah, it's a position that I think McVay's offense kind of neglects and uses it more as run stoppage more than anything else. So if you get a big body in there, I think that's fine.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then offensive tackle Blake Larson from Augustana, 6'6", 311 pounds. He's a pure right tackle. So maybe there's your, you know, eventual Rob Havenstein depth or replacement if you can groom him up. And, you know, he can be a contributor at some form. Linebacker Omar Spates. I think he was one of the better undrafted free agent linebackers in the class. Justin Dedich from USC. So you brought in a Trojan finally. You were thinking that it was going to happen at some point. Maybe it was Brendan Rice, but Justin Dedich, really, really smart player, not athletic by any stretch, but he has the experience in a duo and man blocking scheme, which again, we talked about with depth. Some of those interior players, you want to be able to bring in as much as possible so that you get executed on a high level in practice consistently and then bring it onto the field. Anthony Goodloe from Oklahoma State, 7 tackles for a loss, 3 sacks in 2023. He is a really, really disruptive player for being undrafted. I like this kid a lot. Oklahoma State, some familiarity, but not a ton. So probably still have to dig into him a little bit more. But 7 tackles for a loss and 3 sacks in 2023 is production that you do not want to ignore. And then this next kid, David Olajija, Central Missouri defensive tackle. He's going to compete with Jared Verse for the most reps of 225. He put up 30 in the combine, while Verse put up 31. Sing it with me, Nick. Ola D. Oldie Ja.
Ola Da. Oya Ja.
Na, 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 na. Life goes on.
Well, white album there for you guys.
Yeah, yeah. It's the kind of player that I tried to get into the gym and see how many times I could put up 225. And the answer is not 30. And the answer is not 31.
How many do you think you could get right now?
Maybe 12, maybe 13.
No, because I think I could get like 14. So you could probably listen. Well, if I'm there, if I'm there and I get 14, you're gonna get 15. So just add one onto my number.
That's the fun of it. You got to go head to head. That the competition aspect of it is like, are there other guys at my position who are putting up higher numbers and 30 reps? Or like, let's try to crank out a couple extra.
Higher notes.
If we're not saving it for the next set, the 275 set, the 315 set.
Right.
The limit. I also
let me get 10 on 225 and then I'll continuously go up from there. Yeah.
I also project as a quarterback, so I may skip the bench altogether in the combine.
Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff, how many times do you think they can bench to 25?
They don't. They try to keep their shoulders flexible. I think the bar would slam down on Jared's chest and fold him up like a friggin' lawn chair. And probably
Will Levis can rep it 10 times.
I give him at least 8. he's got some sneaky strength, but who knows? Who knows? He's kind of skinny too, but you know, you try to keep that shoulder as flexible as you possibly can. Jaden McCullough, safety from Tennessee, 4-year starter at Tennessee. He had a felony charge of aggravated assault back in 2022, where like 3 Tennessee players all got arrested around the same time in 2022. He was essentially really drunk and walked into the wrong apartment and got into a fight. So that's kind of his background, but was a pretty productive player over at Tennessee. And yeah, is part of the reason why he went undrafted.
Don't want to judge somebody by their worst day, you know?
No, he's a 4-year starter at Tennessee. So it's not like he wasn't a good player. He was definitely a contributor at a high level. So you bring some more versatility, some more depth onto the back end. And then these last two, JJ Lapp from SUNY Cortland, which is somewhere in New York. It's a Division III school. I went back and watched his highlights from a game in 2022 where he had 312 receiving yards versus a program called Wittenberg. It was another D3 program. And his dad was actually a college quarterback. So maybe you get some Austin Trammell insurance there. You get some more punt return capabilities. You have a guy that can rotate over in the slot. And you kind of got the same thing with Ohio receiver Sam Wingless. So another fun, sure-handed receiver, has a ton of confidence in himself. He plays with a ton of confidence. And I think this is the kind of kid that's going to be well-liked in the building. Benny Sko, watch out, because they just brought in.
You took the words right out of my mouth, which I was about to bring up. Captain Skoranek.
Yeah, they just brought in 3 receivers in the undrafted class that look like, you know, maybe Benny Sko's competition. So
yeah,
keep your head on a swivel, Benny Sko.
Don't Friends know how he made it as a captain last year. I just will never understand that.
You know,
any Rams fan out there that has the Captain Ben Skoranek jersey, I think it's just like the epitome of what it means to be a Rams fan. Like, you are leagues and bounds better than the rest of us.
You know,
or you're just dumb.
Not to get into a Benny Sko argument, but you know, when we were watching that Super Bowl, they replayed it after Matthew Stafford's locked in. That drop, it wasn't that bad. It really wasn't that bad.
No, but
I mean, he got killed for it. It was the drop the week prior against the 49ers.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, where that's where the narrative began. So
yeah,
but I think since then, you know, even in the 2022 season where he's playing a little bit of fullback, you know, that's the kind of mold that you're looking for in some of these receivers. So the undrafted class is fun. The 2024 draft class in totality is even more fun.
Yeah, don't fall in love with these undrafted guys. There's no guarantee they're on the roster by the end of the year. But you know, you see what you have in special teams, and you let these guys go, and you know, somebody maybe makes a spark, and we'll see where they go.
Yeah, I mean, disclaimer that everybody, you know, has to put out there in the draft is like, everybody's a 50-50 shot. Like, it is still the NFL draft. It is still very much a crapshoot. But the way that they've handled business in 22. Brought that product onto the field in 23, where they were projected to win 5.5-6 games. And we were like, I think they're going to win 10 games. Like, I really do. Like, they have enough in the building. They got enough star power built around their 3 pillars. And now coming into net this year, you brought in some players that can really contribute at a high level in 2024 within this draft class right away. And Jarrett Hurst, Braden Fisk, Cameron Kitchens, Blake Corum, like, those guys are all going to be on the field a ton to start. So that's what we're cooking with. Some fire, hopefully, for 2024. We love you guys.
It feels good. It was great. It was a very fun draft.
Yeah.
Kevin Demoff giving a shout out to Hermosa Beach on his tweets this morning. It's really cool to be a part of the Rams fan experience right now. There's a lot of great people and a lot of fun attached to it. And I can't wait to see everybody at SoFi.
It's going to be a blast. We love you guys. Go Rams. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. Make sure that you guys like and subscribe. More good stuff coming your way.
Don't forget about the giveaway. You want to flash that on the screen one more time? So it's like and retweet the post over on Twitter. Subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already. And make sure you're following us and Vince, AYG_. And yeah, it'll give you a chance to win two jerseys. So make them picks. Appreciate you guys listening. It means so much to me and Dean that we get to do this and people enjoy it, because it's just what we do normally.
True. Awesome. Appreciate you guys. Go Rams. Talk to you soon.
Go Rams. Peace.